Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. I'm joined by the squad, the real squad. Not the squad that includes one who got caught up in a cheating scandal, denied it, and then married the dude that she was cheating with. Tell me if you heard that story before. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Ilhan Head Rap Omar. Oh, yeah, she married the guy, a former campaign worker, Tim Minette. Tim Minette's wife filed for divorce because of the cheating scandal. They denied it. Oh, no, not us. Oh, no, not us. And now they're married. Ain't that something? Anyway. I didn't plan to say that right now. Most of you are making your way right now from your part-time jobs where you generate an income for your families to your full-time jobs where you serve your families. And I want to encourage you to make that transition with full awareness, full cognizance, and full intentionality, because it's not that you have to go home, but you get to go home. You have the blessed privilege to execute the Great Commission beginning in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Actually, if you would put kind of on a parallel comparative chart, if you compare the commands Jesus uttered in Genesis 1, verses 26 through 28, reiterated in Genesis 9 following the flood, the exact same verbiage that the Lord uttered to Adam, he repeats to Noah in the presence of his sons and their daughter and their wives. After the flood, I wonder why he did that. You put those instructions on a parallel comparison with the what's commonly referred to as the Great Commission from Matthew 28, Mark 16, Acts 1, and you'll find, kind of like the same God is saying the same thing. If you come to the Marriage, Family, and Life Conference this year, you just might hear a little bit of conversation about this in June 26th and 27th. Man, I'm saying all kind of stuff I wasn't really wanting to say. But the very simple communication is that as you make that transition from your part-time job to your full-time job, understand that the first institution that God created was the family. The family. The family. Before there was a government that included a center for disease control, before there was a monarchy, before there was an order of prophets, before there was any of these other institutions that were made subsequent to the family, the first institution was the family. So as you make your move from part-time to full-time worker, understand that the grace of God is sufficient for you to excel in your service to him within the context of serving your family well. Praise God. Well, we're going to begin today. I posted a little bit about this earlier this morning on social media. You can follow me at Hamilton Corner on Instagram. I post photos on Instagram more than anything else. That's something I'm just starting. I'm still not very comfortable doing that yet. You'd have to follow me to see what happens. You can follow me on Twitter at Hamilton Corner. You also can follow me on the Hamilton Corner's Facebook page. You can subscribe to the Hamilton Corner's YouTube channel. You see all of this stuff? You can subscribe there where you can not only listen to the programs, you can watch the programs. But I posted just one verse, but I'm going to go into a little bit of detail with the context for that verse today. We're going to start in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. And the basic premise for what we're going to discuss here is that in the wake of what's happening, I understand that what the media is doing, but I just would urge great caution. I mean, remember, this is the same media that told you for 3 years that President Trump colluded with Russia. It's the same media. I mean, do I need to rehearse all of the media's lies? So now we should expect them to be lucid and forthcoming? I'm not saying disregard what's going on with the Wuhan coronavirus. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is, and scripture's going to do that. My man Will posted it like this. I'm going to rephrase it. The Lord hasn't given you a spirit of fear. Don't let the media give you one. 2 Timothy chapter 1. All right. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm going to read that again. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Some transliterations say self-control, or that the Lord has not given us a spirit of timidity. I want to offer for your consideration that the Greek word for fear used in this passage, penned by the Apostle Paul, as carried on by the Spirit of God, is the Greek word deleia. I'm pronouncing that wrong. I'm just telling you now. I'm butchering it. But the D word in Greek, deleia, which literally can be, well, let me say this, which translates with the connotation fear, timidity, or cowardice, as of one who flees from battle. Paul began in verse 2 by saying to Timothy, the Lord may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father be extended to you. And then he buttresses this discussion of peace with saying, hey, Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit that would allow us to say that we are engaging in battle, yet fleeing from the raging darts. See, there's a communication, for example, in the book of James, chapter 1. When James talks about developing steadfastness or earnestness under trial, and I've explained here before, and I know I'm pronouncing this one right, that the Greek word for that phrase is dokimos. And that actually is a mercantile phrase, a term of monetary exchange that literally communicated to James's immediate audience, because they were very familiar with the notion of going to market, passing off your means of exchange, your currency, perhaps silver or whatever. But when there was someone who would come to trade who was unknown to the merchant, or in the random times of making sure the currency was legitimate, the merchant would say, okay, I'll use Rob for example. Rob, I take your silver coinage, but before I can give you the goods, I have to put your coinage on this heated vessel. What would happen, the heated vessel would melt the coinage down to determine whether or not it's actually legitimate silver. Once Rob's currency was verified as being legitimate, Rob would then be known as a dokimion. That is what James was communicating when he discussed a steadfastness and a hardiness under trial. Very simply, what James is saying is that it's one thing to talk your faith. It's one thing to represent yourself as having authentic currency. But the question is, will your currency hold up under trial? See, one of the things that this Wuhan virus is presenting for the Christ follower is whether or not we actually believe what we say we believe. See, I am not one, if you've been listening to me talk about this thing, and I still believe the media is alarmist in their coverage of this coronavirus situation. But I have, from the very beginning of discussing this, always urged, take caution, be proactive. And I'll say it again, if you're just not washing your hands, shame on you. Should have been washing your hands. But if you're now washing your hands, Welcome to the hand-washing brigade. All right? But don't allow, if God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, don't let the media give you one. Allow your engagement to be from the disposition of caution and sober-mindedness, but don't allow fear to be the driving force. Don't allow fear to be the driving force. Remember what the Apostle Paul wrote while he was under Roman incarceration, awaiting his imminent execution. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, everything includes difficult family circumstances, everything includes difficult financial circumstances, everything includes a media alarmism concerning a Chinese coronavirus outbreak. In everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard, will be a garrison around your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we have a tremendous opportunity here to provide a witness to the world how Christ followers navigate difficulty, how Christ followers respond to the noisome, not even the noisome pestilence, but the noisome chatter about pestilence. Now, I am not in any way. I have a friend of mine who lives on the West Coast in Washington. That's where one of the primary places for this, you know, Wuhan coronavirus to outbreak. So I'm not endeavoring to minimize the suffering that people are enduring around the world more than anywhere else. And there are some in America as well. But what I'm saying is that this is not a cause for us to act like there is not a King of Glory. This is not a cause for us to act like all of a sudden the Lord can handle everything in the world except for a Chinese coronavirus. Excuse me. Excuse me if I pass on your fear tea. No, thank you. No, we're not going to operate from a position of fear. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. So why would I take one from the media or from a hypochondriac coworker? They think they got everything anyway. All I'm saying, and again, I want to reiterate this. All I'm saying is allow your faith to precede your engagement. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. The Lord's arms have not waxed short in our day. The Lord is not all of a sudden, oh, I wonder what I'm going to do now. Whew. No, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, man. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. This may be a great opportunity for you to point some of your loved ones to the gospel. If they're quaking and they're shaking, you might be able to remind them, man, if you think fever and chills are a big deal, can you imagine eternity? I know some of y'all are saying, Abe, you got to turn everything into the gospel. Oh, ding, 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 ding. Isn't that what we're supposed to be on anyway? To live is Christ. To die is gain. We live in a no-lose proposition. So this is an opportunity, and I invite you to do so. And I've been on this because the Lord has been on me with this. I invite you to reconsider who it is that you profess to serve. I invite you to reconsider the one who turns water into wine. I invite you to reconsider the one who walks on H2O, who speaks to storms and storms stop. I mean, come on. This is the creator of heaven and earth. Of heaven and earth. I'm not even getting into the specifics and the statistics. I haven't gotten into, I should say, of the recovery rates and how over the overwhelming majority of people have been diagnosed with the Wuhan virus. They've recovered. There's a reality that the most vulnerable, according to the statistics, are the oldest people among us. We should be careful with them. We should be concerned for them. You know, washing our hands and things is an exhibition of love and care for our elderly neighbors. All right? But we don't do this out of a spirit of fear. There's no cowardice. There's no room for cowardice in the life of the believer. Let's take this opportunity to stand firm and be forthright about the gospel.
Judge dismisses professor's lawsuit over pronoun dispute. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. A professor of religion and philosophy was told by a federal court that he must use the preferred pronouns of students if he wishes to keep his job. The professor at Shawnee State University in Ohio filed suit after he received a written warning in his personnel file for not calling a biological male student a female pronoun. The professor said that God created human beings as either male or female, and that gender is fixed. The professor often uses titles such as Mr. or Miss and phrases like yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, out of respect. But school officials said that using preferred pronouns was part of his job and was required by the university. The professor is now considering his next steps. This is insanity. Make sure you know your rights and act on them. Stay informed at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
In the Bible, Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever." Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Has filling up on the things of this world left you empty inside? Feast on the living bread. Are you bruised and battered from stumbling around in the darkness? I've got good news. Jesus is the light of the world. Have the struggles of this life left you tired and burdened? The Son of God says, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." So that's the invitation from Jesus to you today. It's our prayer here at the American Family Association that you will come to Jesus today.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The world is making a mad, desperate, dangerous, and devilish rush toward making transgenderism the preferred option for sexually confused teenagers. In the process, teens are given puberty blockers that they're told are reversible. Unfortunately, that is blatantly false. Endocrinologist Dr. William Malone says puberty blockers interfere with normal bone density development as well as brain development and increase rather than cure gender dysphoria. One drug called Lupron actually causes the chemical castration of the teens who take it and is linked to a number of deaths. But 85% of teens naturally outgrow gender dysphoria by the time they're adults. God is clear that He made us male and female, and He's not confused at all about which is which, and we shouldn't be confused either.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. Abraham Hamilton III here. President Trump spoke last night about the Wuhan coronavirus and some steps that he is taking through his executive office. And so for those who may not have been able to catch it, I can't play the whole speech. Well, I won't say obviously. I can't play the whole speech because of time. But I will play a couple of the highlights that I think are worth considering. And, you know, it's a bit, how shall I say this? It's just disgusting how everything gets reduced to partisan politics. You had people complaining about the president. Oh, he's not doing enough. He's not taking the virus seriously. And among the presidents, verbiage, because most people don't even know it, but when the government first got wind of the Wuhan coronavirus, President Trump immediately acted to suspend travel into the United States from China. But you didn't know about it because the media was so busy covering, oh, impeachment, blah, 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 like the initial actions. And so I'm like, so wait, y'all got to pick. You're saying the president didn't do anything, but you don't even talk about what he has done. It's just, you know, it's just ridiculous. And so one of the things that I want you to hear for yourselves, well, let me play what the president said, this portion. And you immediately had regressive outrage. I mean, they are a perpetual outrage machine because that is what they do. Clip number one.
After consulting with our top government health professionals, I have decided to take several strong but necessary actions to protect the health and well-being of all Americans. To keep new cases from entering our shores, we will be suspending all travel from Europe to the United States for the next 30 days. The new rules will go into effect Friday at midnight. These restrictions will be adjusted subject to conditions on the ground. There will be exemptions for Americans who have undergone appropriate screenings, and these prohibitions will not only apply to the tremendous amount of trade and cargo, but various other things as we get approval. Anything coming from Europe to the United States is what we are discussing. These restrictions will also not apply to the United Kingdom.
Now, you heard what the president said. Because, you know, in Italy, they have literally locked down and quarantined 16 million people. A part of the reason is that Italy has the highest median aged populace in Europe. I don't know how many people knew that. They have some of the oldest Europeans alive on the continent in Europe. And so they have a much more vulnerable population based on the information we have now. Travel to Israel has been halted in other places. You know, our president, Tim, had a trip to Israel scheduled that they had to cancel because of things changing there. But it's just at a certain point, you have to get to the place where you realize what's happening and that you realize these people don't believe what they say. It's just a game. Like, I'll give you an example. Do you remember how, and this is not related to the coronavirus, but I just want to give you an example of just the glaring hypocrisy that lets you know they don't really believe what they say. You remember how early on in the campaign, and after really the first couple debates, how Senator Kamala Harris, the first debate, remember she accused Joe Biden of being a vehement racist because of his policies on busing, and I was that girl, I couldn't go to school, and all of that jazz. Then she comes out and endorses Biden for president. Good one, Rob. Same thing with Cory Booker. I mean, of course, what do you expect from T-Bone, Spartacus, sir, I've called, sir. I mean, what do you expect from him? Same thing. He straight up called Joe Biden a racist, and he's endorsing him for president. So I'm just like, really? That's what we're doing in 2021, in the year of our Lord 2020? So you literally tried to get Democratic voters to vote for you because you were so aghast at Joe Biden's history of racism. And now you're voting for him for president. You're endorsing him for president. These people don't believe what they say. They don't believe what they say. They say the things that they say because they think it's going to move you. That's what happens. I told you that when the media was all pearl clutching over the Access Hollywood tapes. I mean, these are the people that were best friends with Harvey Weinstein. They didn't care nothing about what President Trump said. They know you have a moral standard. It's all to manipulate you. And so getting back to this coronavirus situation, the regressives were lambasting President Trump. Oh, his response, he has to take it seriously. His response is horrible. Then the president announces a travel ban. African nations, no. Muslim nations, no. Europe. He's banning people from coming to the U.S. from Europe. You would think that regressives say, oh, yeah, man, the president is taking this seriously because that's where it seems like a large flux of the outbreak is happening, blah, blah, blah. No. You know what they start calling him? A xenophobe. But y'all tried to say President Trump loved Europeans before. This is why, folks, this is why I don't take these people seriously. And this is why you cannot allow yourself to be manipulated by the talking snake, slithering, skin-shedding, slimy when it's shedding season, snake media. You cannot allow them to manipulate you. Because gone are the days when they are merely interested in conveying information to the American public. They're trying to create sentiment. It's utterly ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous. In addition to that, President Trump had some other words to say that again, that you would think, won't this resonate with you? Listen to clip number 3.
We are all in this together. We must put politics aside, stop the partisanship, and unify together as one nation and one family. As history has proven time and time again, Americans always rise to the challenge and overcome adversity. Our future remains brighter than anyone can imagine. Acting with compassion and love, we will heal the sick, care for those in need, help our fellow citizens, and emerge from this challenge stronger and more unified than ever before. God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you.
And that's how the president concluded his remarks. I mean, you would think, if we can't come to, no? Can we come together now? It's hard. I want to play one more clip from the president's speech last night that dovetails with what I was saying yesterday on the program. Clip number 2, please.
I will never hesitate to take any necessary steps to protect the lives, health, and safety of the American people. I will always put the well-being of America first. If we are vigilant and we can reduce the chance of infection, which we will significantly impede the transmission of the virus.
And I tweeted this out with a little, you know, smile, like a winking eye yesterday, because as soon as we got off the air almost yesterday, because one of the big points I made yesterday is that a glaring fact that is staring us in the face as Americans following this Wuhan virus is that over 95% of American antibiotics are manufactured in China. That this is not an accident. This is a part of China's Made in China 2025 plan, which is an intermediary goal toward their ultimate plan of global dominance by 2050. This is not my opinion, folks. Go and do your research. Go and look it up. Xi Jinping and the Communist Party of China has gone on record. It is in writing that this is what they're seeking to accomplish, that they want to have all of the world's manufacturing, or at least a significant portion of all the world's manufacturing, in China. Why? So that all the world becomes dependent upon China to function. See, the reality is economic independence is national security. It is. And so as we concluded the program yesterday, literally as soon as I got off the air, I saw that President Trump's office is announcing in a Buy American executive order that will end medical supply chain reliance on China. It won't do it in one fell swoop, but the objective is to get the critical production of necessary goods, like, I don't know, pharmaceuticals and meds, done in America. And this is one of those things, you know, I understand we live in a fallen world. None of us are perfect, but you know, job number one, really, for the government, one of the first things they're supposed to do is to keep their own citizenry safe. But for so long, we have had globalist leading leaders and greedy business people who are more than willing to sell America down the river in exchange for a few pieces of silver. So my hopes, and you see some even now attempting to resist President Trump's Buy American executive order and his desire to reinitiate and to jumpstart American manufacturing. Why is that? Because they support, get ready for it, and tell me if the Bible says something about this or not, a one world intra-governmental economic system. Have you read about that before? I know that makes some people uncomfortable. I know it does. But think about it. Think about it. Because when we talk about the manufacturing industries in America having disappeared, they haven't really disappeared. They've simply relocated. And so when I saw that, I said, oh, seems like somebody is listening to the program. And as I say all the time, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I think, you know, if we have other nations that are producing knickknacks, I would rather them be made in America. But certainly we need critical things like our medication created here. I mean, that should be a no-brainer. Well, it's almost yesterday, several big, big announcements. Tom Hanks and his wife announced that they have the coronavirus. They're in Australia shooting a movie. They announced they have the coronavirus. Almost as soon as President Trump finished his speech last night, the NBA announced Rudy Gobert, the center for the Utah Jazz, coronavirus. And the NBA suspended the remainder of its season. The initial suspension will last for 14 days, according to the NBA, but they are prepared for it to last longer. Then soon after that, Donovan Mitchell, another Utah Jazz player, coronavirus. Then you have the NCAA that initially said, we want to play our March Madness basketball games with no fans in the arena. Well, now the NCAA has just canceled the March Madness tournaments completely. It's completely canceled because schools like Duke and Kansas start saying, we won't compete. Then you have individual conferences says we're not going to send our players there. So the NCAA canceled. Disneyland in Anaheim closing down for a few weeks. Now, these things are happening, and I just can't help. And I'm not going to go out on a limb and make this affirmative point, but I sure can't help remembering it. Remember in June of 2018 what Bill Maher said? You remember that? You remember it, Rob? Why don't you play it for the people?
This economy is going pretty well. I feel like the bottom has to fall out at some point. And by the way, I'm hoping for it because I think one way you get rid of Trump is a crashing economy. Yeah. So please bring on the recession. Yeah. Sorry if that hurts people, but it's either root for a recession or you lose your democracy.
That's pretty interesting, don't you think? Isn't it interesting that in almost every election year since 2004, there's been some kind of viral epidemic? I should have wrote the list down. H1N1, SARS. Remember that? Remember where those things all came from? China. The bird flu. Remember that? Now, you have this next one, Ebola. That didn't come from China. But these things always seem to happen in an election year. And I'm not trying to say that this is all intentionally done to accomplish a political purpose. But I just can't help escaping. I can't help noticing, I should say, that coincidence. 2004, 2008, 2010, 2012, 2014, 2016, 2018, 2020. Again, go and look it up. There's something going on. I can't quite put my finger on it. And I'm not going to speculate as to what it is. But I feel like there's more going on than what we're being told. That is my gut feeling. As I get more information, I'm going to share it with you. But I think it will be irresponsible to just speculate with, you know, unfounded ideas. But there's something going on here. That I have a hard time with it. And especially when you compare, and I know what's going on globally, around the world, I should say, not globally. But when you consider what's happening in our country, and you don't hear anywhere near this amount of concern about things like the flu, that to date has had far more difficulty than coronavirus. I know this is new. new territory, but I feel like something is going on that they're not telling us.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
This is Jan Markell, and next on Understanding the Times Radio, I talk to Pastor J.D. Farag about the tide of our times. Are we facing a global pandemic? Are these part of the perilous times predicted in the Bible? And how can we be people of faith and not fear in these final days? That's next on Understanding the Times Radio.
Saturday afternoon at 1 Central and Sunday afternoon at noon Central on American Family Radio.
8 Days of Hope continues to be the hands and feet of Jesus. The ministry is in need of volunteers as they turn their attention to Nashville. Visit 8daysofhope.com to learn how you can help. Here's 8 Days of Hope President Steve Tiber.
We're looking for people who just want to serve others. You know, you don't have to be super gifted. Every disaster gives an opportunity for a believer to share a glimpse of Jesus Christ. On a moment's notice, your life can change. And you don't know what to do, and all of a sudden you get a knock on your door, and there's a dozen volunteers that have come from all over the country, and homeowners usually, they just start to weep. They're so blown away that volunteers they don't even know would come to their house to help them. That's the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
Volunteers must be 18 years or older. Food and lodging are provided. Be a part of helping tornado victims in Nashville. Learn more or sign up at 8daysofhope.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My name is Dr. Andrew Favich, and I teach microbiology here at Drew McConnell University. And so instead of trying to teach biology from this perspective that gives you this goo-to-you version of evolution, you get this perspective of this is who God is, this is who God has revealed himself to be, and he's revealed himself in nature, which is terribly exciting to study.
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. CBS News this morning says any use of the word black could be considered racist. That announcement came during an interview with the authors of a new children's book, Stamped from the Beginning, The Definitive History of Racist Ideas in America. You heard that right, folks. It's a children's book. The author says they want to re-educate America on how racist we are. They listed all sorts of words that we should avoid, like black sheep, blackout, and Black Monday. You know, these woke social justice linguists need to provide us with some sort of a daily list of all the words and phrases they consider to be racist. And if, in fact, the use of the word black by white people is now considered racist, what are we supposed to call a company that's profitable? Will white-owned restaurants have to remove blackened catfish from the menu? What about white-run movies that run Black Panther? Then again, what do I know? I'm about as pasty as a sack of Martha White flour. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. We will open the phone lines this segment. The number to call if you want to join the program is 888-589-8840. Once again, the number to call is 888-589-8840. The main question I'd like to have you answer for me when you call, or the topic of conversation, is twofold. One, what is your response to President Trump's speech last night concerning the steps that the federal government is taking in response to the Wuhan virus? I know the regressives don't like me calling it the Wuhan virus, but I don't care because that's where it came from. And the second thing I want to ask you is, how are you feeling in light of this? Are you racked with fear? And I don't want anybody to think that I'm going to pounce on you when you call, because I'm not. I hope if you are concerned and you call in, my hope is that you can get some encouragement to not be racked with fear. And I understand it, man. I know that there are some people who are given to become fearful, you know. That's why the Lord has to encourage us not to be fearful, because he knows that it's possible for believers to be fearful. So I want to know, how are you feeling a lot of this? Are you afraid? Are you panicked? Are you preparing? Are you sober-minded? Are you confident in the Lord, nevertheless remaining cautious with how you go about your affairs? I want to hear from you. How do you feel in light of what's happening? So again, the phone number, if you want to join the program, is 888-589-8840. The number again to call is 888-589-8840. Of course, it's times like this. And here's a kind of a tidbit, a little lesson from the Hamilton Corner, that when there is an effort, or should I say a popular conversation, that gives the impression or otherwise foments panic, watch for the Congress. Watch your local government. You know the Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky. Rahm Emanuel told you they never let a good crisis go to waste. They look to make moves when your attention is elsewhere. Saul Alinsky promulgated that in times of panic and fear, you can accomplish far more than you ever could, because people are more than willing to relinquish their liberty in exchange for protection. Isn't that wicked? Doesn't that sound? It sounds kind of like the cat who Alinsky dedicated his book to, Lucifer. And you know that the goal or the objective of the community organizer, as articulated by Saul Alinsky, which, by the way, Barack Obama called himself. I didn't call him a community organizer. He took that moniker on himself. Saul Alinsky articulated in his Rules for Radicals that it is the organizer's job to foment chaos, to whip up the frenzy. That is the organizer's job. That's why they seek to segment the society into various groups. That is Saul Alinsky's application of identity politics, which you derive from Karl Marx. And you get all of the groups whipped into a frenzy. You get one group angry at the other group. You get the other group angry at the original group. And you present yourself as a solution to both groups, so that the groups, having been whipped up into a frenzy, under the banner of chaos, they will look to you, the organizer, to be the resolver of the issue. Who does that sound like? Goodness gracious. And again, you can read the book for yourself. You don't have to take Abe's word for it. I just say my name, myself in third person. You don't have to take my word for it. But here we go. As I'm talking about, watch for the Congress. Now, President Trump originally said he wanted to have like a $2.5 billion measure to help small businesses with small business loans and so on and so forth. Well, wouldn't you know? Nancy Fancy Nancy Pelosi, at 11 o'clock last night, she comes up with a whopping $8.3 billion spending bill. Say what now? $8.3 billion. And I can't tell you that what's in it, all of the details, because I haven't had time to read the whole thing. Just like the Congress members didn't have time to read the whole thing. You get a bill at 11 p.m. last night, and guess what? They voted on it in the House today and passed it. 415-2. Now, I'm going to come real close in. You tell me, why does it seem that the one time Democrats and Republicans can come together, I mean, they sing, we are the world, we are the children. You know when they sing, we are the world? When it's time to spend your money. 415-2. I get it. I know what's going on with the Wuhan virus. But that's enough time for you to read the bill? And you had some Republicans initially saying, oh man, there's all kind of pork in the bill. And I would love to be able to tell you what's in it, but I haven't had time to read it yet. Like I know the Congress members haven't had time. So I'm going to read it because, you know, I don't trust those people. I don't trust them at all. And I want to know, I want to make sure that they haven't slipped something else in there. Of course, Rob says, I bet they have. So do I, Rob. But 415-2, they passed this in the House of Representatives today. So before it gets to the Senate, I will have read the bill, because I don't trust those folks. Then the last little tidbit, I mentioned this earlier, but this is just, you know, more of this rank hypocrisy. And I'm not trying to be moralistic in this, but I just want you to know what's going on in your country. Ilhan Omar, you know, the pious and devout Muslim from Minnesota, she got caught. She got caught sleeping around. She denied it up and down. A little birdie let loose that she decided that she and Tim Minette had to get married because the reporting was so accurate on them. The reporting was so accurate. So now, and this is sad, like, Tim Minette and his wife just got divorced toward the end of 2019. So did Ilhan Omar and her second husband. Now she's on husband numero tres, if we're counting, which may or may not include her biological brother. But they, and this is not just my opinion, they posted it on Instagram. Got married from partners in politics to life partners. So blessed. So when these people try to lecture you on morality, I have a chair for them, in which I say, have a seat, please. To the phone lines we go. We will start in Texas, where Barbie is on the line. Barbie, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Abraham. I really appreciate your program, telling everyone what is happening and keeping us informed. I'm out here in the oil patch, so we have seen a big drop in the price of oil per gallon, per barrel. And, you know, we're seeing some layoffs somewhere, but it's just important that Christian people be praying.
Yes.
So that we can discern, because I'm often reminded of the book of Jonah, where the prophet was upset with the Lord for not destroying the people, but the Lord reminded him that those people couldn't discern between their right hand and their left hand.
That is a good word, Barbie. Thank you for that call and your comments. Barbie's referring to the book of Jonah, where the Lord sent Jonah to go and prophesy to Nineveh. Well, Nineveh is the capital city of Assyria. So when the northern kingdom of Israel was exiled in 722 BC, they were exiled at the hands of the Assyrians. And Jonah had harbored animosity toward the Ninevites because, look, let's just be candid about this. The Assyrians were brutal when they destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel. And Jonah was like, no, I don't want to preach the gospel to these people. I don't want to preach to them, Lord, because I know you're compassionate. I know they're going to turn and you're going to let them. And I don't want you to let them turn. And just as Barbie said, the Lord told Jonah, who are you to say who gets to turn to me and who doesn't? So your words of encouragement, Barbie, are spot on. That we do need to be prayerful. And the things that are going on with the oil industry, the Wuhan virus is just the latest thing that may have an impact. Another thing that's having an impact is the skirmish that's going on between Russia and OPEC in Saudi Arabia. They're having a standoff on the price of oil. And Russia, and there's a whole lot of economic things, but Russia needs the oil to stay above $50 a barrel. OPEC was trying to strike a deal with Russia because the American oil industry is on the rise. And Russia told them no. So absolutely right. Thank you for your call and your comments. Barbie, we will thank you for your call and your comments, Barbie. We will now go to Georgia, where Charles is on the line. Charles, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Abe.
Yes, I'm here. How are you, Charles?
Okay, how are you doing?
Doing very well. How are you?
I'm fine. The only thing I want to know, I was listening the other day when you were talking to Tim and Ed, and you said that you didn't like to be called a person of color. And I understand that 100%, but I'm just trying to figure out what is a group of people such, and I hate to say a race because I think we're all the same race, but what can we do as Caucasians or whatever to make people understand that it doesn't really matter. We're just here. We're all here together. And God loves us, and we're all going to go to the same heaven. What can we do to do that, Abraham?
All right, Charles. Well, you're kind of off topic for this show. He's talking about an appearance I made on today's issues. I don't like the expression people of color because I know exactly it's another cultural Marxist attempt to create a group of people that don't really exist. Melanin content gives you no indication of a person's character, their worldview, nor what they believe. Yet they're trying to pigeonhole entire swaths of people into thinking one way based on nothing other than their skin color. That is rather ridiculous. So that is why I reject that. And I want to say this in response when you said, how can you make people understand? You can't force people to comprehend at all. What God calls us to do is to be an effective witness. Duty is ours. Results are the Lord. So I would simply encourage you to live out the fruit of the Spirit with the neighborly love of Jesus Christ emanating from you. Resist the temptation to attempt to identify people as a group and talk to people as individual human beings that they are. Because I doubt most of us are going to speak to massive groups of people as a group. We're going to talk to people on an individual basis. So if I'm talking to Jeff, I'm going to talk to Jeff. I'm not going to ask Jeff about, Jeff, what's wrong with these white people, Jeff? Jeff is not white people. Jeff is Jeff. And if you're talking to somebody in your neighborhood, in your environment, learn their name and talk to them by their name. We need to resist the temptation. And this is a perfect example how regressive cultural influences, Hollywood influences, media and news influences has trained us that the first thing we do when we see people is diagnose them by their melanin content. We have been trained like Pavlovian puppies. When I see Rob, I see Rob. I don't ignore Rob's wonderful, less melanated skin than mine. But that doesn't define Rob. So if I want to know something about Rob, I'm going to say, hey, yo, Rob, what do you think about this Wuhan bird flu times two? That's what I'm going to say. I'm not going to ask Rob about, man, what are the people who like to wear hoodies like you and fleece jackets, what do they think about what's happening? You get what I'm saying? All right. Hopefully that was helpful. We will go back to Texas now, where Ellen is on the line. Ellen, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Abe. It's good to talk to you and good to be on the program with you on this subject that you had spoke about and has been on the media on a 24/7 spin.
Yep.
Now, you had hit on two points and that drew me to want to call and speak about. One, I have no fear. I know who my Lord is and who keeps us. And secondly, I think the most ridiculousness of this whole thing has stirred, and I do mean stirred, anxiety among people to even cause them to panic and buy boatloads of toilet paper, water, and all kinds of other crap. I went to my local grocery store last night, and lo and behold, not one bit of water.
I understand exactly what you're saying, Ellen. A lot of people have been whipped up into a frenzy, and it just shows that there are a lot of people that are living in fear. This is a great opportunity, as I said before, for Christ followers to demonstrate what it's like to have our faith put in action. And man, I have so many callers that are holding. I see a good caller, great callers, all of you. We won't be able to take calls tomorrow, but if you can call back on Monday, please do. We had a young man from Kansas that I wasn't able to get to. He wanted to talk about how he's a young 25-year-old man. All of his friends are regressives. So was he, but Jesus turned him around. Man, I wanted to get you on the air. Call back Monday. We'll try to do so.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.